This was my identity.
Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist. What most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us. Dentistry is ready for this. Now is really the time. Welcome back to Wellness in Dentistry. Today we're going to be talking about how you need to get comfortable being uncomfortable if you really want to grow in your life, in your practice, in your career. I am Dr. Kyle Stanley. I am a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher, and I am joined by your other host, Dr. Martin Mendelson. Martin is a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, and author. And his first book, One Move Makes All the Difference, is available now for pre-order wherever books are sold, so make sure you go and do that. And together, Martin and I have helped thousands of dentists pursue wellness in dentistry. And we encourage you to go to wellnessindentistry.com and go to our links and look at our courses that we have. And sometimes we have live events as well. So make sure to check that out. But today is all about getting comfortable being uncomfortable. I think the people that I know that have had the most growth and I would say holistic success in their life are these people that get comfortable being uncomfortable. And I know that, Martin, recently you had a situation where you put yourself in an uncomfortable position, and I think you came through it with a lot of growth. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'm actually still processing, because when we're recording this, I only got home a couple of days ago. And wow. So it all started back in about January or February. I came upon this guy's Instagram feed. His handle is The Outdoor Therapist. His name's Zach Hazlett. And I just really liked what he had to say. It really connected to a lot of my own philosophies, a lot of my own teachings, and how to not get in your way and how your thoughts matter. And I thought, this is a really cool dude. And so I clicked over to his website, and what do I discover? That he runs a company called, Let's Get Outside Together. And they run these river rafting hiking trips. And he runs one called Rafting to Realness. And I was like, well, that's interesting. And I looked more into it, and it turns out his parents started the company, and they've been around for decades. And he basically, I now understand, runs the company now, but he's a therapist. And I just thought, well, this is really interesting. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, well, I've been whitewater rafting before, but I've never really been camping. And so I just took the bull by the horns and I signed up. And what an awesome experience in the true sense of the word. It really taught me a lot about myself, frankly. We talked about in the episode that just came out last week about, I alluded to this in that I knew this was going to be physical, so I didn't want to show up out of shape. And so I spent several months with a trainer just to, be in shape. And I'm glad I did, because honestly, except for about one other person, I was about, no joke, 10 to 20, 25 years older than almost anybody there. Mm-hmm. So I really had to push myself to a great degree. I mean, I don't think I'll ever forget the first night trying to set up my tent. I mean, I had help, of course, but I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, or setting up the cot. I'm like, yeah. I don't know what to do. And I remember sitting there in the tent after everything was set up, and we could only bring like one duffel bag, because everything goes into these like waterproof river bags and stuff. And I'm like, you know how when you're unpacking on a trip and you keep losing things, like you keep forgetting where you put something or whatever.
Yeah.
It was like every damn thing. I was like, what'd I do with that again? What'd I do with that again? And I noticed over the three nights, there were three total, so the two subsequent nights, it got easier and easier. And I started creating little patterns. It's like, this goes here, that goes there. But I think the day that taught me the most was the day that I pushed myself the most physical. And Zach started the trip started the hike in particular, it's like, look, we're all in this together. We're not in any rush. You know, we're gonna do this together. We're gonna wait for each other. We're gonna support each other, and that's what we're gonna do. And
I love that
this,
he set that expectation. You know, he had the clarity at the beginning.
And
Great leadership.
there was a point where I actually fell back to the farthest point. I mean, look, it was 100 degrees probably at
Oof.
that point, and we're climbing up literally rocks and all this stuff. And Zach's just like, "I got you," he said. "You can do this. The only thing that's making you think you can't is your own thoughts." And I'm like, shut up. So,
Stop
but
telling me what I tell all of my coaching clients.
exactly. Yeah. So I just kept going, and it was really interesting because when we finished that, which by the way, after that, I had to swim across a river against current. So that was fun. I said to him and some of the other women that were helping me, I said, I learned two huge things today. I said, I can do hard things, and that you can do it most effectively when you ask for help. And I don't remember whether Zach said this or somebody else said this about, oh no, this is something I came up with. Like, don't apologize for asking for help. So for me, it became all about not saying I'm sorry, but saying thank you. So there were a couple of times when I asked people for their hand to like climb up to a higher step up or whatever, or step down. And I just said, thank you. Not sorry I needed help, but thank you.
And so how do you feel now being back, having knowing you were nervous about going for it, you booked it, which I think is the first step, right? I mean
And by
that's
myself, I went by myself too.
yeah. I mean, that's the best thing you can do is like book it and figure it out later. You know, because then you're just like, you're going, you're going. But how do you feel now? How do you feel about yourself? How do you feel about your personal growth? How do you think this will impact your life and your career?
Yeah, I think it already has. I mean, first of all, I made some lifelong friends. And these were people, by the way, every single one of whom found Zach on Instagram, interestingly. And we had, me, we had ER nurse, a labor and delivery nurse, realtors, teachers, an honest to goodness celebrity who's been on quite a number of shows that I won't mention. It's not important. And it was just, quite a cross section. And the other thing that was amazing, talk about leadership. So there was Zach and then three guides. Two were men, one was a woman. And the oldest guide was 24. And the teamwork that I noticed blew my mind. I mean, these three people were working their tails off, and it's hot, and they're the ones putting the meals together. I mean, kudos to Zach and the team. Like, the food was incredible, but we kept commenting, "Where the hell is this coming from?" Because it just seemed like they were pulling stuff out of nowhere, and there was nothing really canned, or it was all fresh. And like the last night, the third night, we had like steak and salmon, like on a river. But the way they worked together and how seamlessly they worked together, and at points, just the lack of verbal communication. They just knew what they needed to do. They just did it, and they did it together. And then they were, hanging out later and just having a good time. I haven't quite figured out what lessons I'm going to deploy from witnessing them to dental teams, but I know there's lessons there because it was rather extraordinary.
And now that you've gone through this experience, you're proud of yourself for doing it. How do you think this will impact your career, let's say?
Because I'm gonna keep telling myself I can do hard things. And I can do things, I can complete things that at first I thought were impossible.
You set your mind to that.
I mean, I guess it would be relevant to mention here, we haven't even talked about this yet, but 2 days before I left, I did something else that was really hard that I'm really proud about, and I'm now a licensed insurance agent. Why? Because I became disabled, and if it wasn't for my disability insurance, I wouldn't be where I am today. And so I did this not to start a business, but to be able to be of service to my colleagues so that somebody can, so that maybe I can save somebody else, like a financial advisor saved me. Maybe we can tell that story another time. But I studied like 60 hours for that exam. And trust me when I tell you, it's not intuitive and it's not dentistry. And so I'm going on this trip thinking, wow, I just passed my exam. I'm so excited. And then I get thrown completely out of my comfort zone again. And I gotta say, the first 24 hours was, in retrospect, really uncomfortable because everything was a first. Everything. You know, even, you know, excuse me, pooping in the woods was not that it was woods, it was a canyon, but you get the idea.
Well,
So
I want to say something that the listeners may resonate with, which is Martin decided to do this, and the very first thing that he did was he put money towards it. He paid.
Yeah, I did.
And this is something that I don't think we really think about, but if you have skin in the game, it's almost like the more money you pay, the more you effort you're going to put towards it. Because if it was $100, you could have been like, I don't know if I really feel like going. What's $100? But even, I mean, it's the same thing with coaching programs and with anything you put a bunch of time, money, and effort into, you're going to do it. And I know, like with my first coach that I did, he was very expensive. And I remember going like, wow, I paid all this money. I'm gonna do everything to get as much as I can out of this. And so I don't wanna underestimate the power of putting money towards something. Like, if you get a trainer for your physical health, and he or she's waiting for you, you're probably gonna show up more than if it was just you and you paid $80 a month for a gym membership, right? So there's something to be said about putting money towards something at the beginning and getting putting the effort into it to get something out of it.
And I think, you know, back to your question about how do I think it's going to impact my career or my life, just I don't think you can put a price on overcoming something that scares you and not only surviving but thriving and then having a good time doing it on top of it. It really kind of changes you. You know, because you know we're dentists or dental professionals listening to this, and so dentistry is a very, you know, despite the microbes in the mouth, a very clean profession, right? So the idea of like not taking a shower for 3 days, it's like, wait, what? So that was part of my discomfort as well. And so, but I leaned into it. And I remember thinking as I was on this hike, because again, that was probably the most tangibly hard thing, if you will. I'm like, nothing's gonna happen. It's like, okay, it's hard. So let me lean into the hard. And so I found when I leaned into the hard, all of a sudden I found the joy in the process. Now, truth be told, that morning we did a bit of yoga and Zach asked us to pick an intention for the day. And so mine was to find joy. And so I was looking for joy in the process. I was looking for joy in the climb. And I think this goes back to why, and this is something I talk about in my keynotes all the time, that I hope to hell you're having a morning huddle. But secondarily to that, I sincerely hope you're making it more than just the anticipated challenges, problems, and exceptions to the rule. Because the research is clear, if we actually focus on things that we can have gratitude for or that we're looking forward to, it clicks our brain into a completely different place. And all of a sudden, that's what we see instead of all the problems, challenges, and exceptions to the rule. So having that mindset was also something that I identified with in the morning when he asked us to do it, because I do that and I guide people to do it. But then I got a real tangible example of how powerful it can be when I was looking for the joy as I was huffing and puffing because it was, not only 100 degrees, but it was an increased elevation from what I'm used to.
Oh,
So it was like
right.
a double hit, right? And I'm not a physical guy. For those that know me, like I'm not a big sports guy or whatever. This was like a freaking big deal for me to do. So I leaned into the heart and I feel like a different person. I feel like my mind is clearer this week. It's or quieter, actually. I found that certain things have happened and I'm just like, meh, okay. I
More
overpilled.
resilience.
Yeah. Like I overfilled the pool this morning or overnight by accident because I played with the leveler. I live in Phoenix for those who don't know, so it's hot here. And wasted a bunch of water. And I was like, well, can't do anything about that now. So, nothing really happened. So, okay.
Let me
And,
focus on what I can control.
yeah. And so these kind of experiences, allowing yourself to lean into the discomfort, can really change you in a good way.
Yeah, and I bet that if you were to go set up a tent now, you would
Yeah.
be better at it, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I was, with each succeeding evening. In fact, I won't say what it is because we're going to bring this into Lightside Live. But at the end, we were all talking about each other, or we had specific people to talk about. And this one woman who had pulled my name, she said, in the first night when you were setting up your tent next to ours, she goes, you didn't know what you were doing at all, but you still offered to help us. And you told us, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm here to help. And so I thought that was kind of cool that I guess I think at the time I just did it without thinking about it, but it was recognized by somebody else, which was really cool.
And this should be a reminder to all the listeners that everything is a skill that is
Yes.
practiced
Yeah.
and you get better at.
Yeah.
Like, no one's born being a good tent setter-upper, right? But the
Yeah.
more you do it, the
Yeah.
better you get. It's like, I know people come to me and Martin all the time and they say, like, gosh, you guys are probably just born to be on stage and give these keynotes, right? And I grew up on a stage. I was a dancer, but I had never given a speech until I
Right.
was, I don't know, in dental school, right? And but the longer I did it, the more I did it, the better I got. Then I
Yeah.
put money towards it. Then I put effort into it.
Yeah.
Then I watched my own videos and got feedback from people, got feedback from myself.
Yeah.
I looked at other people that I saw speaking and took little things that they did that I liked and reformed them into something that would fit for me. And now you get me or Martin. I mean, you could tell us in 5 minutes that we have to give a 3-hour presentation, and we'd be like, okay, no
Okay.
problem.
Yeah.
Now, it's not perfect, but
No.
guess what? It's a skill, just like
Yeah.
anything else. Just like when Martin and I first prepped our first crowns in the sim lab, I mean, gosh, the taper was too much or too little. The
Yeah.
margins were, it was high over here, low over here. I didn't have a third plane. I didn't have
Yeah.
enough occlusal reduction. And then you do 100 of them, and
Yeah.
it's a lot easier. And so understand that anything in your practice, anything in your life is a skill that can be learned and that you get better at. That can be parenting, that can be talking to a front office member, that can be case acceptance, that can be understanding your numbers on a P&L. But it's exposure, it's time, it's money, it's effort, it's reps, and
Yeah.
you get better at that. And that's, I think it's a great thing to learn from Martin's, is that like even after 2 days of doing something, he got a lot better. And it's funny that you were saying about how you started to do things in a certain order.
Yeah.
Because for those that don't know, I have become a big camper in the last 2 years. So I went camping a few times as a kid, but nothing super major. But then my son and I joined this dads and sons group called the Adventure Guides.
I didn't
And
even know that.
we go camping maybe about 6 times a year now, right? So like
Nice.
every other month. And I was, the first time I was there is like other dads were helping me set up. I didn't know what things I should buy.
Yeah.
Eventually, as we went to more, I started learning from different people, or someone would say, I would say, oh gosh, I was so cold last night. And they'd be like, oh, well, you got to get off the ground. That's the main thing. You guys got to get cots, get off the ground.
Yep.
So I got COTS. And now, because I've had my armamentarium, enough times, it's very organized. I know exactly how
100%.
to pack the car. I know, do I, I don't bring the pillows to the car until I've put in the cots because the pillows go on top of the cots, like little tiny things like
Oh yeah,
that.
it
And it's a
matters.
skill like anything else.
No, that's really, really cool. Like you're making me think as I started learning all these lessons. It's like, my toothbrush and toothpaste was in the river bag, but then it went to the day bag because then that was easier to get to. And all those little things that teach you. And I want to point something out as well, which is this. Although I don't practice anymore, most of the personal or professional development I do is relative to communication, speaking, that kind of stuff, right? This had nothing to do with any of it. It simply had to do with pushing me to a different place. And so my challenge to all of you is, what else are you doing to push your own level of discomfort as a human? Because there's more to life than simply dental CE and clinical in particular. Because, as you say, my friend, we are people who practice dentistry. We are not dentists. Like we're not, it's what we do, not who we are. And I think so many people forget that. And I'm going to say understandably so, because it's a very difficult, all-encompassing profession. It's something we're very passionate about, that we care about. So it's very easy to get stuck in that trap. And at the same time, we have to recognize that we're human beings. And so what are we doing to, shall we say, better the humanistic side of ourselves through hardship, right?
And what we know from the research too, if you just look at financial success, 85% of your financial success comes from soft skills. So even if you're just like, hey, listen, it's all about the money for me, just want to make more money. The answer actually is not go take more clinical CE. It's go learn more communication skills, go learn how to set expectations, go learn how to set boundaries, go learn leadership. That's what's actually going to make you financially successful. Now, Martin and I are concerned more about holistic success versus just financial success, but financial success is part of it.
Totally. And one of the things I love, Kyle and I are both resource partners of the Crown Council. And one of the things I love about them most, there's many things I love, but one of the things I love most is that members are required to have a 2-year CE plan, but, or and, 50% is not allowed to be clinical. Like, how cool is that? I don't know of any other group that does that. At
That is
least to my
huge.
knowledge, I think it's a huge thing. And props to Steve Anderson for sticking to that, because Kyle and I know as instructors of a non-clinical CE course, sometimes it's hard to get dentists to be willing to show up, spend money, engage in something. It's like, well, why would I want to do that? Well, because it's actually going to make you an even better dentist than learning about the latest material. It's equal, if not more important, if I may be so
Well,
bold
so
to say.
many dental professionals, they'll spend 20 grand on live surgery implant course, which, I've taught many of those. I've done those before that they're important.
Nothing wrong with
But
it.
if they spend 2 grand on a leadership and communication course, they're like, well, what is the ROI on that? And when you look at the research, the ROI is much greater on something like that, actually, on something that is about communication and leadership than it is on the clinical part. And it's so backwards to how we're taught. We're taught really the exact opposite.
I'm going to say something that's really, that might piss some people off, but I don't care. I think Zach Hazlitt is a better leader at 30 than most dentists I know because of what I witnessed. And he leads
And
with
I
his
wonder if
heart.
that's because he's a therapist and he knows
Maybe.
more of those soft skills.
Maybe, but I felt, and I heard other people say, and this wasn't just about Zach, it was about Zach and the guides, how safe we felt. Because, rapids can be dangerous. We did have one person get ejected. Rapids can be dangerous. Hikes can be dangerous.
I just had this thought of them like,
It's
ah.
actually, that's kind of what it was. She actually got bounced out of the boat, under the boat. When she
Oh my
finally came
gosh.
out from under the boat, which they taught us how to do,
Yeah.
she got caught in kind of a rotating,
Yeah.
getting hit by the waves, like a hole.
Washing machine.
Yeah. And it was like bam, bam, bam. And she was okay in the end. It was scary.
Yeah.
But everybody was trained on how to deal with that. So, there's something to be said. There's something to be said about growth through discomfort.
Yeah. No, I've done it with jujitsu.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I started training jujitsu about 2 years ago, and it was nerve-wracking. I've never been in a fight my entire life. I've tried to avoid fights at all costs, but this was an idea for me to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And it's crazy how fast my mind and my body adapted. So in jiu-jitsu, many times the person who is better will end up on top. And they are trying to hold you down, which is a, if you're in the street fighting someone, you do not want to be on the bottom. And what jiu-jitsu teaches you how to do is to get comfortable being on the bottom and sometimes even use that as an advantage. Now, for me, I'm claustrophobic. As I've gotten older, really a lot in the last 10 years, my claustrophobia has gotten even worse to where sometimes it's hard for me to go on amusement park rides with my kids when I'm really strapped in. And so now I'm going to have, some man or woman on top of me that's holding me down. It can be very claustrophobic. And at first, when I first started, it's called rolling, which is like when we're sparring, basically. I would get to the point of where I was like, I'm getting claustrophobic, my heart's starting to pound, and I need to get out of here as fast as possible. And over time, I've been able to live in the space between the stimulus and the response that Martin and I talk about a lot. And I'll get to the point of where I'll say, okay, my arms are trapped. I can't do anything about this right now. Let me think about how I can get out of this. And I kind of sit in that emotion and reason my way out of this, but I don't panic anymore that I used to. And honestly, that came in only about 6 months of training. And now it's to the point where I was at jiu-jitsu, let's see, today's Wednesday, 2 days ago, and I was rolling with two very big guys. I'm like this the I'm 6'1", about 155 for those of you that don't know me, and I am by far the smallest guy, okay? So there's very few people under 200 pounds that I roll with, mostly men, some women. But two of the guys that I rolled with on 2 days ago, one was like 250 and
Oof.
like maybe 6'2", and
That's
the other
100 pounds over you.
yeah. And the other guy is like 6'7", but he's probably
Oof.
like 220, just a giant human being, right?
Wow.
And I held my own with these guys.
Good for you.
And I felt really good after it. I didn't win, I didn't tap them or anything, but they didn't tap me. And they were struggling too. Like I was struggling at times. And, to hear these big guys like, I get like some satisfaction of like, I'm kind of giving them a hard time, And it's been a really great, for me, it's been a really great boost of my confidence. Like I kind of carry myself differently knowing that I have these skills. And I am very early in the game. So jiu-jitsu is something that takes usually about 10 years to get a black belt. And I am 2 years in. So I am by no means an expert. I am very much a novice. But it's been really fun. It's stimulating. And I think what I've learned so much from people that have trained jiu-jitsu for a long time is they say, just keep showing up. Just keep showing up. Because sometimes it's really frustrating because you're going to do this hobby And for an hour, you just get your ass handed to you. It's just like you are just getting beat up for an hour long. And it's like, why am I doing this again? And so many people just tell me, like, just keep showing up, just keep showing up, which goes back to what we were talking about, which is like reps, doing reps. You're going to get better. The more you do it, the more time, the more exposure, the more mistakes you make, you're going to get better. And it becomes a skill.
I mean, I love the keep showing up concept. And I just keep thinking to myself, in your embracing the hard, it's really it's two things for you in a way, if you think about it, because it's not just the skill of jujitsu, but it's also the overcoming the claustrophobia. And so, which do you think has been more impactful for you?
Well, you know, I don't think I told you this, but when we went to Disneyland a few months ago, I was really concerned because the last time I went to Disneyland, I had to not go on some rides because it was like,
Too
if
much.
that seatbelt locks, I'm gonna start freaking out. And what was really awesome was I was able to go on all the rides with my son.
That's
Now,
great.
there were some where I still felt uncomfortable, but I got through the 3 minute ride or the 5 minute ride or the 1 minute ride or whatever it was. And I think a lot of that had to do with jujitsu. I could tell myself that like you said, I can do hard things. I can do this. I can get through this. And it has really helped me.
That's great. And I think it's analogous to practice and procedures within practice too, right? The first time or even the 10th time we do something, it's a little nerve-wracking because you're not as used to how to handle complications if they occur, immediate or post-op complications. So it's the stories we've been telling, they're two different things with very similar results, where they're giving us greater levels of confidence, greater levels of peace, realizing that we can do hard things, helping us grow as people. That doesn't have to be about dentistry, yet would help us as dentists, right?
Yeah, I think when I think of both of our experiences with these hard things, I think it's that we can control our emotions, that we can take one more step. Like I can take one more step. Okay, can I take another one? Yeah, I can take another one. Take another one? I can take another one. Oh, well, now you just took a few. And how you do that, it's like tricking your brain into keeping going, right? So it's controlling your emotions. It's taking one more step. I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe that's kind of what I take away from it.
Well, and something else I want to share relative to giving myself some grace during the trip. So, not everybody was in a tent in my trip. In fact, most people were just on the cot out under the stars.
Oh, wow.
And I just wasn't interested. I'm one of these people that mosquitoes love, right?
Oh,
Not that there
God,
was
me
a lot of
too.
mosquitoes, but I just like, well, if typical dentist analytical thinking, right? I was like, well, if I sleep in the tent, at least I'm removing one variable. And so it was interesting because by the last night, I was the only one that set up a tent.
Oh, wow.
And I realized that I concluded, or hypothesized would be a better way to put it, that it was a way of giving me comfort and space. And I realized that, and B, I was okay with that. So I was giving myself the grace to embrace the use of the tent, even though nobody else was. And to some degree, it was pattern-ish in a way because I had gotten used to the tent the first two nights, and this stuff went over there and that stuff went over there. Talk about like dental procedures, right? And so I was very used to where everything went. And so I think that was part of it. But truthfully, it gave me, I think, a sense of security. I wasn't feeling insecure, but I realized it was giving me a piece of security. And even in realizing that at the moment, because I realized that real time, not afterwards, I was still okay with that because I was like, I'm still doing the hard thing and I'm using resources at my disposal to make the hard thing a little easier, and I'm okay with that.
Well, I kind of see it as focusing on what you can control too.
Fair, 100%.
So, for example, the mosquitoes. Can you control the mosquitoes? No.
No.
Sometimes they're there, sometimes they're
Yeah.
not, whatever. But what can you control? You can, wear these type of clothes. You can sleep in this tent. You
Yeah.
can,
Yeah.
not be close to a light. Like
Yeah.
that whole idea of focus on what you can control has
Yeah.
completely changed my life. And I have this conversation in my head with myself all the time. It's just like what you were talking about with the pool the other day,
Yeah.
right? You overfilled the pool. You could sit and be annoyed with yourself the whole day, or you could say, you know what? There's nothing I can do now. All
Yeah.
right, let me just kind of clean up the mess and we'll call it a day.
Yeah. I mean, I feel badly I wasted the water, but
Right.
I didn't do it on purpose. And by the time I
But at that
realized I
point, it's
did,
done.
there was nothing I could
You
do.
can't unwaste the water,
No,
right?
no, no,
All
no.
you could do is negative things at that point. All you could do is think
Exactly.
about how much of an idiot you are, or gosh, I should have been listening. I got distracted. I shouldn't have done
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And nothing positive comes out of that.
And as you might imagine, so I stayed one additional night in a hotel when they dropped us off. This was out of Moab, Utah. And there was a handful of us that hung out that night. And I remember thinking to myself, it's over already? Like, how did that happen? You know, anticipating it and then being in the moment and, you know, being in the sun and then, you know, jumping off the boat and cooling off and floating down the river. It was just really wild. It was a really wild experience. I'm really glad I did it. And it really taught me to go out of my comfort zone more often, or it's given me the desire to go out of my comfort zone more often, because I really do feel a bit transformed for the pro from the experience. So.
Yeah, I think that the people listening can take a lot away from these experiences of getting comfortable, being uncomfortable. And for those of you listening, this can apply to learning how to be a better leader, learning how to do case presentation, maybe even something clinical, learning how to do thermal
Totally.
extractions or how to do molar endo
Yeah.
better. But the more you do it, the better you get at it. I mean, it's just how it works.
Yeah, exactly.
So I hope you guys got a lot out of this. I know I had fun listening to Martin and his
Yeah,
story and telling mine as well. So if you're interested in anything that Martin and I do, go to wellnessanddentistry.com. You have all of our links, including our live courses that we do a few times a year. And we hope to see you on the next episode of Wellness and Dentistry.
bye-bye.